Hi guys, thank you so much for tuning in to Got You On Air. I'm your host, Heya, and this podcast has your back with valuable insights, perspectives, experiences, and stories from some really cool people doing some really cool things. On today's episode, I'm going to be speaking to Noura. Noura Sleiman is a Kuwaiti advocate for migrant rights in the Gulf region. She is currently the project manager of Insaniyat, which is an extension of the migrant rights organization. The project aims to spread knowledge and awareness around migrant rights through fellowship programs. Noura has personally worked with over 120 volunteers that put together over 25 campaigns to inject understanding and compassion into communities across the region. I'm so excited to talk to Noura about the current situation that migrant workers face in the region and how we as a community can come together and do our part to help. Hi, Noura.
Ahlan.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm so happy to have you on today because I've been wanting to talk about the topic of migrant rights and what they face, what their realities look like in the GCC and in Kuwait. So I'm so happy you're here to give us the inside information on what really goes on and to shed some light on what their lives are like.
I'm
here.
Glad to be here.
Yeah. So you're the project manager for Insaniyat, which is a branch of the migrant rights organization. And you work between Kuwait and Qatar and GCC. So just to start us off, I want to know, like, in what ways are you involved in helping improve the lives of migrant workers, bil Kuwait and in the region?
So as an individual, I believe in change can be achieved through discussions, through dialogue, you know, getting the conversation going and all of that.
A woman after my own heart. Yep.
So what I try to focus on with Insaniyat is I work on cycle based. So every 2 or 3 months, I recruit a 5 to 7 volunteers from the GCC. And basically what we do is we talk about the laws that exist, the policies that exist, and then we break it down. You know, what are the cultural reasons that mm-hmm. interfere with getting these rights implemented? Or what are the social reasons that, you know, people aren't the biggest fans, let's say, of these rights? And then together we put together a campaign. So it all depends on what the fellows' backgrounds are, you know, if it's creative, if it's more like statistics, if it's numbers, if it's filmography, and we put together a campaign. And the main purpose of the campaign is we want people to look at it and watch it and then say, okay, something clicked in my head. Yes. I want to be more involved. I want to know more about this.
Mm-hmm. So it's really about like that aha moment and exactly. making people more aware of what's going on. And I talked about it in my last episode with Badriya about anti-harassment, just putting yourself in a position that's uncomfortable. Like, you know, realizing that you're privileged and then seeing it from another angle. I think that's so important. But you mentioned in there are cultural and social reasons, obviously, why these rights aren't given the attention and the focus that they need. What are some of those like reasons that you have pinpointed throughout the years?
I think one of the main ones that stands out is the idea of trust. Mm. And that idea plays a role in passport confiscation and, you know, for example, domestic workers not wearing their uniforms, outside of the house. The idea of a day off, you know, all of these have trust in common. Mm. And when we talk to employers and we ask them, why do you not give the domestic worker, for example, a day off? And they go on and on about how, you know, we don't want her to go out. And it's funny because they always refer to domestic workers as a her. Mm. But, you know, drivers are domestic workers, yes. you know, cooks. Mm. Anyone who's working within your household is a domestic worker.
Yes.
So they say if we give her a day off, she's going to go on and get a boyfriend. She's going to have a sexual intimate relationship with someone. We don't want her to get pregnant. And then I just ask them, you know, where is the trust in that? Because you also trust this person to cook your food. You trust this person to watch over your kids. You trust this person to look after your house when you're gone. But you can't trust them to be out of the house for a few hours to just, you know, relax, to breathe. We all need that. Imagine
their own space.
Yes, if I put myself in their position, if I work for 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, I'm going to be mentally and physically exhausted.
Yes.
And it's the same way with domestic workers. So why can't we view them as employees, like any other employees?
Absolutely.
Passport confiscation is the same thing, you know, because in Kuwait, you don't need your sponsor's permission to leave the country. Whereas in Qatar, for example, before actually, now they just changed it, you need your sponsor to sign on a paper before you leave. Mm. So in Kuwait, because you don't need your sponsor's permission, anyone who has access to their passport and can book a ticket can just book a ticket and leave. So then again, there is this fear of if we give them their passport, they're going to run away. What makes you think that the worker is going to run away? Yeah. What have you done, maybe, that's going to want that's going to make this worker want to run away? We need to ask ourselves these questions when we literally step on the rights of others. Another thing is, you know, they'll justify it by saying, I have all my kids' passports. Why should I give her her passport? You know, I'm just keeping them safe, you know. And put them with tajuri. And I'm like, those are your kids.
Yes.
You know, that's your family. A domestic worker is not your family. Migrant workers are not your family. You can treat them like family in the sense of respect, mutual respect, care, you know, putting them into consideration, just being very aware of how they're feeling. But they're not your family. And
you don't need
and
to parent them.
Yes. Yeah. So, and we get that same excuse when we ask about day off, you know, banati ma yatlaun. So why should I let the worker go out? She's not your daughter.
She's not your daughter. Yeah.
This is an adult that traveled a very, very long way to come here and to work here, you know. And let me use the family argument, you know, if your daughter or if your son travels a very long way to work somewhere else and, you know, to make a living, you would want them to be respected. You would want them to be looked out for and cared for and looked at as an equivalent to you, not someone who's below you or not someone who you need to baby, for example, or kind of control with what you let them do and not let them do.
Absolutely. No, that's literally perfectly put, to be honest with you. That's exactly it. And I've found that in my experience, these excuses come up, like this, you know, treating them like my daughter or my family. And I'm like, but they're grown adults. They do not need to be parented by you, that they've already been through that experience. Like, they don't need that. That's not necessary. And exactly like what you said, like, check your own behavior. Take accountability for what you might be doing that might warrant them for wanting to leave. And of course, at the end of the day, if I have a job and I'm not too happy with it, just like how everyone else thinks, you think about quitting. It's fine to quit and start something new. Like no one is forced to stay. Do you know what I mean?
Kuwait just did that, actually, and I'm very happy to see the news, and I'm looking forward to seeing it implemented fully. And they said that domestic workers are allowed to leave even if their contract is not over. So you have people who say, you know, we paid X amount to bring this worker here, and so they are forced to stay the whole contract period. But me right now, I have a full-time job, so I can leave even if my contract's not over. Yes, yumkin fi ashiya that I might have to give up, but I have that choice to leave and I have that choice to stay. And at the end of the day, do you really want to force someone to stay? Do you really want to, if you force someone to stay working for you, even if they're not comfortable, that might backfire.
Yeah.
And like any other human, it's
absolutely insane. Yeah, just think about putting yourself in that position. Like, the last year with COVID, it's been super tough. Everyone is at home, right? Especially during the lockdown. And that was an eye-opening experience for me and a lot of people I talked to, because they're like, oh my God, like, this is a lot of people's realities that, you know, have a domestic job. You know what I mean? So we felt that just in a short term, in that 1 month last May where we were inside 24/7. And I'm like, this is literally some people's realities, a lot of people's realities on a daily basis. So we can't handle it and we're like, oh my God, this is too much, and my mental health and all the things. Just imagine them.
Exactly. Someone else pointed out, so one of the volunteers that I worked with, she's also become a great friend of mine. Amazing. She said that what we felt during lockdown is what domestic workers have been feeling.
Yes.
For years. I'm focusing a lot on domestic workers because they're the ones who are behind closed doors. You know, we see migrant workers all around, and obviously they're also as important to what we're trying to change. But with domestic workers, we don't see them as much. And what she said is, you know, she realized, you know, that the idea of not having a day off, we were also in lockdown. But the difference is, though, they were in lockdown now as well with us. The way I spent my lockdown is I was doing online courses. I was trying to teach myself how to play the piano.
Yes.
You know, I was painting. I was having fun with it. Whereas now for them, their job has doubled because they have the whole family around all hours. So no one's going to school. No one's going to work. No one's going anywhere. They're just working,
on the clock.
I think, yes.
Overtime.
Double what they used to work on a normal day or outside of lockdown.
Absolutely.
It is tough, and I hope a lot of people had that realization that you had, that your friends had, and that this my friend had.
Absolutely.
That, you know, something should click in your head.
Absolutely.
We should encourage our parents to give them days off. We should encourage workers to step out, you know, they need that breathing space to refresh like anyone else.
Yeah, exactly. It's so true. And I think that's literally the bare minimum. It's just this like mutual respect and just allowing people to breathe, because we know how much we need it, like every other human. It's a basic human right, you know. I think sometimes with domestic jobs and domestic workers, the hours get so blurry, and that hours are such a strong boundary. And I think that's what needs to be implemented, because like you said, they're working overtime in lockdown. But even before that, I would see that people would be like, oh, it's 4 a.m. I need something. Wake up. Wait, what? Like, there should be hours, like 8 hours. This is how much you work, and then you're off.
Ramadan. Mm. You know, Ramadan, you know, like you have futur, you have suhoor.
And that's coming up, too.
Suhoor is waqt al-fajr. So it's that is something that people should start realizing. There are hours. So many people might not know. I personally didn't know this before starting with Insaniyat in 2017. There is a domestic workers law that was passed in Kuwait in 2015. So yeah. Now we're in 2021. So 6 years later, how many people actually know that there is a law? And the law does talk about working hours. It talks about days off. It talks about passport confiscation. It talks about contracts. It talks about medical aid, you know, providing medical assistance or insurance and all of that. It talks about recruitment. It talks about everything that an employee and an employer and the recruitment agency needs to know.
Yeah.
And how many people have actually went up? And I didn't before 2017. I didn't, because I don't have a domestic worker that I've recruited. And I assessed, you know, the environment in my house. You know, it seems like it's good. You know, everything is being given to them. But then when you read the law and then you look at the smallest things that actually make the biggest difference, you're like, no, we need to start educating ourselves first, talking about it in our own households, and then talking about it outside in our circles.
Talking
because
about it, yes.
In our society, you know, a lot of the information that you have, your political opinions, your social opinions, your adat taqaleed, all of those, you get them from duaniya, from
word
of mouth, you know, those conversations. So let's introduce this topic to all the other topics that we talk about.
Absolutely.
Let's bring it up, and it's fine to admit that you're wrong. It's fine to admit that you didn't know, but it's not fine for you to know and just
sit in
be ignorant.
That.
You
yeah,
know,
sit like in that ignorance.
Pretend like, oh, it's fine. I'll just brush it off as if I don't.
Yeah, it doesn't affect me. I think a lot of the times what I find is when I bring this topic up, they're like, yeah, but it's mu baitna. Like, not my house. But I'm like, okay, not your house, but there are enough situations that are bad for us to realize. Like when people say, oh, not all men. Okay, but there are enough that are scary and that are threatening to women. So this is what I want to say, that yeah, I urge people to assess their own homes, like you said, and then even if by your opinion your home seems okay and it seems fair and the hours are just and everyone is being treated with mutual respect, then continue those conversations elsewhere, because there are a lot of situations that are dire and that are dangerous for people that are working in them.
I'll share an example of how I was able to achieve change in my own family. So at first, when I said that I'm going to start working on this, my family was against it, you know, because I graduated with a political degree. So they wanted me to join, you know, one of the government agencies and just follow a political path, and advocacy and human rights and speaking out about these issues might interrupt that. So I went on with it. And what I would do is after any meeting that I would have with Insaniyat's fellows, I would come back home and I'd just talk to my family about it. You know, this is what we learned. This is what happened. This is what was brought to my attention. And then I realized month after month that now my siblings, my father, my mom, they would also come back home and they would tell me, you know, I was at the gas station and I was asking the worker who's working there, how many hours have you been working there? And or how's your salary or how's your accommodation? And then I realized that it's bad. So in an indirect way, I didn't point out their wrongs. I didn't point out their flaws. But in an indirect way, I kind of planted the seed of interest, of intrigue.
Yes.
You know, I want to know, is it really what Noura is saying it is? You know, and they started having these conversations with people at co-ops, at gas stations, at restaurants, at coffee shops. And it's as simple as asking the person in front of you, is everything okay?
Yeah.
What's work like for you? And you might think that some workers might be hesitant. You know, I don't want to talk to this person who might look Kuwaiti or might look like an Arab person, and they might use this against me. You know, what's the hidden agenda behind them asking? Because it's still new to them, and that's the sad reality. You know, راح يستغربون.
Yes.
And does this person actually care about me? Does this person actually care about my rights?
See me as a human being, equal.
And once you break that barrier and once you kind of play around with the different ways that you can approach workers, there is so much for us to learn. There are so many voices that are still waiting to be heard. And for now, because their voices aren't heard, let's be their voices. You know, let's get the message going. And let's, with a simple just, how are you?
Yeah. You know? It's so simple, like you said. And I know that on Insaniyati, we're doing live conversations on Instagram. And it was like, you're trying to bridge the gap, right? And I think that's what it is, you know, when you start having these conversations with, you know, migrant workers and that community, there is a bit of a, like, why are they talking to me? Like you said, hidden agenda. So it's that bridging the gap between us and them. You know what I mean? When we realize we're actually all united in living in Kuwait and we're all here or whichever country, then we have that gap starts to close, and that's what needs to happen. We need to see each other and listen to each other. I really do appreciate that. And a lot of the things, like you said, with the hidden agenda, it's like almost they're fearful of that. So I know living in fear is something so tough, and that's been, I mean, that's kind of exploited in advertisements. Bill of Kuwait, I've seen it where they kind of exploit the fear of migrant workers in Kuwait for a laugh. But what makes life in Kuwait and the Gulf difficult for migrant workers? I mean, living in fear, and what else would you highlight?
This idea that they come knowing what's happened to other people from their countries here, you know? So migrant workers don't come here assuming that, you know, everything's going to be perfect. They would hope for everything to be perfect, but, you know, like, word travels fast here, word travels fast back home as
well.
So they've heard about the abuses, they've heard about the leveling that exists, you know, this hierarchy that, you know, there is always someone that's above me, and that someone is going to have way more power than I do. And the idea of ownership, and they come knowing that, you know, with the system that we have right now, this person might think that because they paid this amount of money, now they owe me. But I think the fear is that not enough stories have been shared back home about workers speaking out about the injustices that they face, and them winning that case and them winning that fight and that battle. So there is this fear of speaking out. But again, a lot of workers, they just, you know, They just stay quiet about it. They just talk to them, to each their community members about it. But it's very rare that they'll step out and they'll talk to us about it as well. You know, talk to on social media about it. You have to, like, kind of suffer in silence or suffer behind closed doors and just keep it that way. There is this fear of asking for their rights. So a lot of workers do come. So I know that there is this understanding that workers come, ما يعرفون القوانين ما يعرفون ان في قانون عماله منزليه ما يعرفون عن labor law ما يعرفون عن any of these things.
They don't know about all those laws.
Yes, and it's a thought that needs to be changed, you know. لا نشوفهم كانهم اقل منا. No, they come knowing the laws. They come knowing اللي لهم واللي عليهم, but they also know that they are not welcome to ask for them or to demand their rights. We demand our own rights, you know. As soon as one thing goes wrong, we know that we have that freedom and that space to
speak,
go online and to speak out loud and or go to the specific agency and say, you know, this is my right as a citizen, this is my right as a human, this is my right as an employee, and I want that right. How many workers feel like that they have the right to do that? Very little.
Very minimal.
Out of fear that the immediate response is going to be like, you know, you don't like this, go find somewhere else. You
we
came
can be
here
replaced in about, it's this feeling of being replaced in about 5 seconds, you know what I mean? I don't know, it's just, yeah, it's literally, you put it perfectly. And I'm at a loss for words, صراحة. I'm looking at Layan and we're both just speechless, because it's just the fact of the matter, really, isn't it? Like, that's just what we're dealing with. I mean, you mentioned that us as Kuwaitian, or the people that are like the citizens of the country, have this privilege to have our voices heard. And recently we've seen it with social media, where we rise up and we go and speak out on things like Clubhouse or Instagram, Twitter, and we get a response. So in what ways does social media play in the fight to help migrant workers?
So social media can be viewed as the enemy, but it can also be your friend.
Mm.
You know, especially with this specific cause. If you remember at the beginning of COVID, you know, everyone was on social media blaming workers for the high numbers.
And then wait, sorry to interrupt you. What was that about, like, this number wafidin and this number, like, this number are people that are non-Kuwaiti that have it, and this number, okay, but we're all humans that
got infected by it. And before, it wasn't even just wafidin, it was this number from this country, this number from this country. And you go on social media, and I was talking about this yesterday, and you go on social media, and everyone is like, you know, طلعوهم, you know, they're the reason why corona is here. You know, their numbers are, the high numbers are because of them. It's not because of us.
Absolute witch
hunt. Not respecting social distancing, like rules and all of those things. Very little people actually took a moment and thought, انزين, me sitting in my house, I have my own space. I have my room. I can go to the, you know, to sala, the TV room, to the garden, to the kitchen. I can move around in my own room, in my own house, and I will still be able to sit somewhere and have my space.
Social distance in your own home.
How many workers got that? You know, you see 16 workers crammed in one room, and they're stuck to one another. The only space that they have is their mattress, is their bed.
Yeah.
Even their closet space is very, very tiny and very limited. So how do you expect workers to socially distance? So when you were on social media, when you were on Twitter attacking workers for the high numbers or blaming them and accusing them for the high numbers, why not attack the sponsor? I'm not here to encourage attacking it, by the way, but why not question the sponsor, you know, who put them in those living conditions?
Yes.
In which if one person got COVID, obviously all 16 of them are going to get COVID. You know, like they're all going to test positive. Another way is, and what's funny about that is that when the numbers were switched, so when it was Kuwaitis who were contributing to the higher numbers of positive cases and migrants were the lower,
not a peep. Yeah, I realized
everyone
that.
Was silent, you know, and so it's okay when it's us, but it's not okay when it's them. How much longer are you going to keep that us and them?
It's so counterproductive.
It's ridiculous. We're all individuals. We're all humans. The only thing that's going to differentiate you from me is how you treat me, how you treat others, how you care, how you contribute to society in a positive way, how you contribute to society's growth in a positive way. You coming to me and telling me that أنا أعلى من الكل or I'm above all and, you know, this is my country and this is, you know, a lot of workers have spent way more than you have. Probably way more than your parents have here. So this is also their country as much as it is yours. Exactly. Or are we just going to point out that it's a different document that you carry than the one that they carry?
That shouldn't be a factor.
You know, that should not be a factor. That's not how loyalty is measured. That's not how dedication to a country is measured. It's with how you contribute to that country.
Oh my God, thank you so much for saying that. Contribution is key, and I literally, the 3 million plus people in Kuwait that aren't Kuwaiti are the backbone of this whole society and this whole country, and we need to wake up and realize that sooner rather than later, because the blame game is not it. The blame game is not it. We need to learn how to take accountability for the things that we do. Like you said, it was crickets when the numbers flipped with the COVID cases, and it was Kuwaitin that had more infections. So, Nam, what do you think?
In its simplest form, these people, like you said, have trekked all this way to come work a job. It's a job.
Mm.
They're coming to work to make money. That's it.
It's an opportunity.
Like any office job, like whatever job you're going because you want to work and you want to make that money and you want to sustain a living.
Yeah.
Right? That's it. So the fact that they have to deal with all this other stuff when all they're doing is coming to work a job, to me, is ridiculous.
It's like the you know, like you said, the hierarchy. It trickles from the top to the bottom. And it's just like the disrespect I feel that even people have for each other at the Kuwaiti level. You know what I mean? That person that got disrespected will go take it out on someone like that doesn't have citizenship or is a migrant worker.
Break it. Break this social ladder that you, like this imaginary social ladder that was created over time. Like,
it's imaginary.
Speak out over, like about, and the idea of quote unquote calling people out is not to embarrass them.
Absolutely not.
But
no.
I wish someone came up to me when the law was created, when the domestic workers law was created and told me, you know, نورة في قانون, read about it.
Yeah.
Just read about it. Open your laptop, Google it, read about it. It's there. It's there in so many different languages. Mm. And it's very simple. You don't have to be a lawyer or have a legal background to understand it. It, unfortunately, and it goes down to laws and policies telling us how to treat people. Yeah. But okay, don't read the law. Mali, scratch that. You as an individual, look at how you can change what's happening around you. Assess those who are around you. Even when you're at a friend's house and you feel like, you know, your friend is mistreating the worker or is asking them to do very silly things. This friend of yours is probably like same age group as you. They might understand you. You might have a better connection with them. Ask them, you know, like, hey, there's no adi tara. We can get that done. Yeah. We can clean up after us. We can. No, we're not kids anymore.
No,
you know, we don't need that babying. Yes. So
we don't need to be nannied. Is what I want to say.
Yes, and I think it's funny that you said that because I know that there are 25 year olds that refer to the domestic workers at their house as she's my nanny.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, that
she's not your nanny.
She's
you know,
not your nanny.
Yeah. No, your nanny is up until 5 years old. Yes. And a nanny has different tasks.
It's childcare.
You know. Like, yes. Yeah. Different tasks, yes. You know, a domestic worker has different tasks, as in like the cleaner and all of that. A cook has different tasks. You can't bring one person and ask them to look after your kids, look after your house, cook your food, wash your cars, water the garden, water the plants. Like everything you want that one person to do all of these. Relax, I would consider them a superhero. Literally. I wouldn't consider them as someone who's below me.
Absolutely. It's just like, yeah, exactly. Like they take on so many different roles and they wear so many hats inside of the home and they take off so much pressure. And I wish people would just see it as something extremely admirable and respectable of these people to be doing, because at the end of the day, they don't have to do it. Do you know what I mean? And at the end of the day, I just hate this notion of, oh, they know what they signed up for. This is so much better than their conditions back home. But I'm like, how do you know that? A. B, okay, and so what? They're here now. So what? That grants that allows you to mistreat them just on the basis of, oh, they know what life is like over here, kind of thing. Like,
you're not doing them a favor.
No.
When you recruit a worker, whether it's for your house, whether it's for your company, whether it's for whatever it is,
employer, yeah.
If you're recruiting a worker, you're not doing them a favor. If anything, you need to realize that without this worker, whatever it is that you needed to be completed, you know, this puzzle that you needed to complete won't be there. It will never be completed. You know, if anything, their conditions, their bedroom here is much better than their bedroom back home.
I've heard this many times.
You know, their salary here can buy them so much back home. And number one, like you said, you don't know what life is like back home. And there is a reason why they left back home and they came here. They came to the country of destination.
Yes.
You know, fi sabab. It's not because they want to live an identical life. If anything, it's because they want to better their life back home. And it's a give and take relationship. They're giving you their effort. They're giving you their time. They're giving you كل شيء يقدرون يسوونه.
Whatever their talent,
You owe them to give them decent pay. You know, pay them decent pay that it does increase. You know, salaries should increase. ما يصير أنتم موظفين أحد their salary is 60 KD, and then 5 years later and their salary is still 60 KD just because domestic workers law says minimum wage is 60 KD. No. Can you live 60 KD? What's she gonna do with it, or what's he gonna do with it? You know, they don't even go out. They don't even go shopping.
Why don't they go?
They have families back home.
They need to send it to. Yes.
If you leave and you go and work abroad, you would want decent pay. You would want a decent accommodation.
Yes.
The bedrooms, come on, yani, the bedrooms, no.
Yeah.
Because it's better than back home does not justify that you're letting this worker sleep in a ghurfa meter meter or
shoebox,
sleep on the ground, or you know they're mafi window, mafi anything, and you know you're capable of providing that decent accommodation. You just chose not to because you know that the person that you are dealing with is not going to call you out on it, because you have also acknowledged the power that. This imaginary power that was given to so many people in our society, that they are above all and that they can get away with so much because احنا أحسن منهم. No.
Yeah.
Sorry, wake up.
Superiority complex is so, so dated. I can't even really fathom why people think that way. But I am hoping and I am hopeful that through conversations like this, people will learn. And I mean, I just want to know from you, like, in what ways can people really get involved? I know we spoke about, you know, just calling people out on spot, which is a huge thing, you know, like in these spaces where people are talking about the mistreatment of others, just being like, that's not cool. That's not cool. And you need to do better. What are other ways people can get involved in combating this?
So, well, obviously, like just me as project manager of Insaniyat is, if you have time and you want to volunteer your time, you can volunteer with us. So it's a cycle where we look at all the laws, we look at all the policies, we break it down, we have debates, we have discussions about them, and then we go on and we make a campaign. But the purpose behind Insaniyat, or the work that I do, is it doesn't end after 2 months. My mission is I want to plant a seed in every person that I've worked with. I think I've worked with over 120 volunteers. Wow. So with the hopes that I planted a seed in 120 people who then went and did the same with like two others each person, and then they went and did the same. So it's just getting that cycle or that ball rolling, you know.
Absolutely.
Another way is that you can, again, get the conversation going with workers. Mm. Talk to workers. Start with your own house.
Yes.
Check out with the, you know, they might, the workers at your own house might not be comfortable talking to you, might not be transparent with how they really feel about how your household is treating them. But it's like, create, like, have that relationship with them. وتكلموهم. With if you say غلط, try to fix it in your own house.
Yes.
Step out.
Yes.
And go to your circle, your friends, your colleagues. Get that conversation going amongst them. المفروض ما ننتر, we shouldn't be waiting for policies, because that's for another group to deal with.
Yeah.
But when enough people start talking about this cause, and when enough people start wanting to achieve that change, and we use our presence on social media, in society, to call people out, then maybe that might encourage policymakers to you know, speed up.
Yes. This is what the people want.
Our region right
now is
their
job.
Yes.
Which is their job. Their job is to politicians are all about, you know, making policy and
exactly
improving the quality of life for everyone within a country.
Exactly. And our region is going through drastic changes. You know, yes. Saudi just recently put out that they want to stop the kafala system.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope that they mean it literally. We are going to stop kafala system, and we're all just waiting for it to see how Saudi's going to be doing this. You know, what are you going to introduce now? What are you going to do different? Qatar right now, the past 2 years has been, you know, making drastic changes as well. They cancelled this whole, you know, you need your sponsor's permission to leave the country. They've included domestic workers in labor law, and domestic workers have always been shunned out, which is why I focused a lot on talking about them.
Because they really are behind.
You know, Emirat as well has been making like a few changes. So, إحنا الكويت, you know, we were the first country in the region to have domestic workers law. Mm. 2015, إحنا أول ناس. We need to go back, look at it, you know, and see what changed from 2015 to now.
Yeah.
And what changes need to be made to that law. And what more we can do in الكويت for everyone, you know, checks and balances. You know, you need to go check in on accommodation. You need we might have pretended that it doesn't exist, but there were a lot of news agencies who were who went and did reports on workers' accommodations in Jalib and Mahboula and all of those. So we can't pretend that doesn't exist now.
Simple
we
Google
all
search
saw
away,
it, you know, we all saw there, it. Yeah. The videos exist, we all saw it. So what are we going to do different now? We need someone to go look at accommodation. We need someone to go look at these things. We need someone to revisit the contracts that are there, because we have draft contracts. Mm-hmm. So, with PAM and what they were doing, you know, it was great after lockdown opened, after lockdown was removed, workers were then given that opportunity to register on an application and go file a complaint if they weren't paid, if they were mistreated, if their rights were abused. Throughout lockdown period, they were able to go and file complaints, and that's excellent.
Absolutely.
Let's do more of that. But again,
work.
This is all on the higher level. هذا الحق شغلهم. إحنا كأفراد, your presence here and your وجودكم في هالدولة بهالحياة is not just to, you know, grow as an individual.
Mm. It's a collective.
And yes, yeah. Yes. You need to contribute. You need to assess yourself. You need to continue growing into كشخص. لازم you continue growing in the شلون أنا أقدر أثقف نفسي؟ شنو أنا أقدر أسوي؟ لا تهتمون بس بالأشياء اللي تفيدكم أنتو. حتى لو it doesn't benefit you, you will eventually become an employer. You know, whether it's of a migrant worker, whether it's of staff in a company, yeah. Whether it's anything. We all, this generation, eventually كلنا رح نكبر ورح يكون عندنا شركات وأماكن وبيوت. We're going to be employers. So change your attitude now. Encourage those around you to change their attitudes now. عشان later on in 5, 10, 15 years, we don't have to have this conversation about workers' rights and workers' rights being abused. But instead, we can have a conversation about how before it was so different, but look at us now.
Yes. And look at all the amazing change we've made and the progress we've made.
I was just gonna say, I feel like people need to be really held accountable and in a big way. So if you're saying like, allowing the migrant workers to go and complain and make real complaints, and then those be taken very seriously.
Absolutely.
And then it come back on the employer in a big way. I feel like you understand what I'm saying, but
yes.
In a big way,
yes.
To really put these people in their place and truly hold them accountable for these actions. If there's a kid in school and he keeps stealing someone's lunch and no one ever
says anything,
he's never going to stop stealing the kid's lunch, right? Because he's getting away with it.
Yeah.
And what, double the lunch? Great.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So I think until people are really held accountable in this mm-hmm. situation,
it's going to keep slipping. Taking advantage,
keep taking advantage
of their positions, of their power, of their citizenship.
And it is really changed through dialogue.
Yes.
And discussions.
I mean, I like this one. I really do urge people to lead by example and start the conversations. And I know that that's what you do with your fellowship program, is where you inject education into different social circles, which is beyond important work and such necessary work. Thank you so much. Inshallah, you are so informed. And I know I'm taking so much away from this conversation. I'm just looking at Leanne's face, and I know she is too. I have like 3 pages of notes.
Yeah.
Nora, thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. And thank you as well for you know, wanting to get all of this out there, because, you know, it is things like this. Like you said, it's a conversation.
Absolutely.
And that can be your starting point on how you can achieve change.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes. Guys, go out there and be better, do better. Thank you so much, Nura.
Talk to
you soon. Thank you all so much for tuning into my episode with Nura today. Her passion for advocacy and her knowledge surrounding migrant rights is so admirable. And I'm sure I'm not the only one leaving this conversation inspired and ready to do my part to make the changes necessary. Let's all remember, we are humans blessed with humanity, and it's our duty to use it. Thank you all so much again, and take care.